And gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Let the believers say amen one more time.
All right. I am going to share with us a biblical principle that is true regardless of where you may be in your walk. Today you may be, everything may be well, you may be on your feet, on top. But the bottom line is, if you continue to walk, talk, live, and breathe in this life, there are going to be situations and circumstances that will either knock you off your feet, knock you off of balance, bring you out of the place where you ought to be. But thanks be to God, the story doesn't have to end like that. And so there are multiple areas in our lives where we've got things together, and it could be just one area where we've fallen, where we've missed it, where we've messed up at. Might be one, as the word says, sin that so, does so easily beset us, I mean, which takes us off course, which knocks us offline. And so we want to know how, in being a good Christian, do we get ourselves back on track? How do we get ourselves back together? What do we do after the fall? Because the word is clear that you're going to fall. Tell your neighbor, don't be scared. Truth of the matter is, you're going to fall. And some of you have lived enough to say, yes, I've already done that. All right, but here's the case. Do you know how to get up from the fall? And so the Lord led me by way of the Spirit to deal with the road to recovery. The road to recovery. Now, our scripture reference is a familiar scripture, but I want to explain. It says the steps of a good man. Now, it's talking about mankind. It's talking about the whole of mankind. So the steps of a good person is more appropriately placed here, are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, listen to this, though he fall. Now, that's not a maybe, that's not a happenstance, that's not a might, that's not a could. It says though, which says and suggests to us to get ready in life, because in one area or arena of our lives, we are going to fall. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Now, you can fall and still not be cast down. The fall has to do with your mistakes. It has to do with your fracture, your failure. It has to do with your part. The cast down has to do with a supernatural power greater than yours. Now, you've got to realize, depend on who you yield to. If you yield to Satan, then he has that power to cast you down. But then ultimately, God has the last word. And God has the last say. So he's ultimately the one who can cast you down or to remove you ultimately from your place. And so it's understandable that, yeah, we're going to fall, but God does not throw us away because we fall. We're going to mess up, but God does not throw us away because we mess up. We're going to miss it, but God does not throw us away because we miss it. But when we are turned over to a reprobate mind, when God says there is no hope for you because you've made it up in your mind, you're not going to be better, you're not going to do better, there is no better, there is no hope, when everything has died on the inside of you as relates to you being restored, as relates to you being right, as relates to you being what God wants you to be, then when God knows that, because he knows all things, that you're never going to change, then you're cast down. Okay, so you need to realize that no matter what your situation is, whether you're talking about marriage, whether you're talking about money, whether you're talking about relationships, whether you're talking about a job, whether you're talking about family, whether you're talking about friends, whatever, you need to realize that though there are issues or problems or situations, that you have not necessarily been cast down. Here's why. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now, when you're in the hand of the Lord, what did Jesus say? The devil can't cast you out. He can't pluck you out. The devil, if he could do that, it wouldn't make no sense for us to try, because when the devil got ready, he could cast us out, pluck us out. When he got enough of us, no matter how hard we tried, the devil could end us and cast us down, and there the end would be. But God has the last word, and thanks be to God that he has the last word. And so I want you to be able to look at this word today, because I believe that God is trying to minister to the body of Christ in places and in parts of our lives where we are hurting, but we don't want others to know, where we are missing that place of being so close to where God wants us to be, but yet we have not yet been connected to that next level. And some of that has to do with things that you again have done or not done, or you've been in a place where you should not be in terms of your spirituality. God's trying to bring you to another place. And sometimes, listen to this, even when God has forgiven us, we've not forgiven ourselves. Even when others have forgiven us, we've not forgiven ourselves. So there are some things that I want us to see that's important for you to recognize how to move forward. Let me just give you the definition of recovery right quick. The act, process, duration, or an instance of recovering. Recovery means the regaining of or possibility of regaining something lost or taken away. Now, keep reading these definitions, because you're going to find your situation inside and it'll make sense to you, and you'll be able to understand some things clearer. Restoration or return to any former and better state or condition. Time required for recovering, something that is gained in recovery. So you need to know that sometime in order for you to recover, it's going to take a little time. Okay? And just because you don't bounce back immediately and things don't turn around immediately, you got to realize that God is still working things out, and he's working other things other than just your situation to work it out. So when Romans 8:28 says, and we know, not we think, not we feel, not we hope, not we pray, and we know that all things work together for how? For good. Now it works for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to what? His purpose. Here's another thing. You can't force God to do what you want him to do. You can't force God to make his will your will. You have got to learn how to bend and blend your will with God's will. And so sometime when we walked out of God's will and tried to do it our own way, God will let, listen, when you're removed from his covering, you no longer have his protection. You no longer have his peace. You no longer have his power. You no longer have his provisions. You no longer have all of those things that God gives you under his covering when you walk away from that. So then things start happening in your life. Your world starts crumbling when you come from under the covering of God. And so sometimes when you walk out of that covering, when you walk out of his will, you may take a minute to get back into that place where all of those things you've lost because of bad decisions, because of going down the wrong road, because of making choices in the flesh rather than the choices of faith, then those things have to be recovered. And sometime when the enemy take your stuff, he runs far and fast.
Yeah, come on.
Y'all not hearing me. And so sometime God has to reach a little further than where you dropped it at or it was lost at or taken from, because the enemy has taken it and run. But if God's going to restore it, he's going to recover it. He has to find it. Sometime your car might be, if it's ever been stolen from the place it's been stolen from, 9 out of 10 times, it's not right around the corner. Are y'all hearing me here? When the thief steals it, he tries to remove himself far from the place where it was stolen at. And so even if he does find a hiding place close around, it's going to be a hiding place. It's not going to be exposed and sitting out, depending on his purpose for stealing. So when the enemy, and all he comes for is to steal, kill, and destroy. Every time the enemy comes up, shows up in your life, that's his agenda. He's not coming to play with you, have fellowship with you, love you. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. So sometime when that happens, you've got to realize it takes some time to get it back. And then an improvement, recovery, an improvement marking the end of a recession or decline. See, sometime what you got to realize is, when God puts you in a place of recovery, it marks, listen, the end of a recession. In other words, you can start seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. You hope starts rising up on the inside. You begin to feel this thing. I got a feeling everything. Yeah. It marks the end of a recession or a decline. All right. Now that we've gotten the definition of recovery out the way, let's move on a little further. There are some synonyms: regain, reclaim, recuperate, restore, reconstruction. Those are just some synonyms that go with recovery. Now, why is all of that important? Because it's important for you to understand the keys to recovery. If you never understand the keys, you cannot unlock your situation. Okay, that's why I try to teach us principles. And principles, when we understand them, we can practice them. When we practice them, we profit from them. When we profit from them, it is the direct result of us operating in a law or a principle that God has to back up when we do our part. In other words, if he's no respecter of persons, whoever obeys and honors the keys to his principles, God has got to honor his word. He's got to do it because that's what he said he'll do. You do your part, God has got to do his part. And how many of you know he'll do his part? Okay, let's look at some of the keys to recover. First thing you need to know is that you've got to refocus. Because one of the things that we miss, how things became messed up in the first place, is because we lost our focus. We've lost our focus. When you lose your focus, it literally means that you place it in another place or in another position. The problem with that is that when we move our focus off of God, our affections and our feelings are connected with our focus. In other words, whatever you become endeared to, whatever you become attached to, it's because you have focused on it. When you focus on it, and it depends on how intense the focus is, you become more involved in the focus process. The more you bring something into focus as in clarity, the more you see or discover about the thing you're focusing on. As it becomes more and more clear, you then notice that you like something more and more about what you've discovered. And the more time you spend focusing, you will find things that keep you connected. When you choose to remove your focus from that, it can no longer hold you the same way it did when you were focused on it. Let me give you a good example. Everybody look at this monitor right here. You're looking at it, right? Now look over there by Brother Greg over there. Now, the image that you were just focusing on is lost in your mind. Come back to the monitor. Now it's right back on your mind. You see what's on there. Even though you know all of these words, once you take your focus off and put it over there, you are no longer focusing, and no longer is what is here clear, and it is still having the same weight or the same value to you because you've chosen to refocus. Now when we remove our focus off of God, here's what people miss. That when God is not the center and citadel of your true focus, your true desire, if God is not the essence of what is real in life to you, then what you have refocused on becomes your God. Hear this well. You may not consciously call it your God, but anything you spend more time with, more involved with, give more of your heart to, and fix yourself on becomes your God. He said he's a jealous God. He wants nothing or no one before him. So that means you have to go back and put God first. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. And then what will happen? All these things will what? Added unto you. Why? Because you're focused on God. Wherever God is, everything that you want and need is there also. That's why, because as he is our source, he is also our supplier. So he's one-stop shopping. For every believer, I don't care what your situation is, don't let the devil fool you and take your focus off of God, because everything that's worth living for, everything that's worth having, everything that's worth enjoying, everything that adds value and benefit to your life is with God. I can promise you anything that's in another direction, in another place, in another phase of life, in any other position is temporary, and it comes from the enemy to take your focus off of God, because what the enemy does not want is you to be so connected that you know that everything that's worth living, every good and every perfect gift comes from where? Above. Not from Satan, not from this world, not from man, not from money, not from any material or temporal thing. It comes from above, from God. So if every good and if every perfect gift comes from above, then why are you looking everywhere else? Because if it's good, it comes from above. If it's perfect, it comes from above. So the question becomes, what are you looking for? What do you really want? So the first key to recovery is refocus. Somebody say refocus.
Refocus.
God first.
God first.
Next, we have to review. Because once you refocus, then you have to review God's word. It goes back. Listen, when you get connected with God, then the next thing you need to begin refocusing and reviewing on is his word, because he is the essence of his word. In other words, he reveals his mind to you through his written word. You want to really get close to God? Get in the word. You want to know how God feels about stuff? Get in the word. You want to remind yourself, refresh yourself, encourage yourself, strengthen yourself, bless yourself? Review God's word. Listen, he has not given us another word, because this word is sufficient. This word is sufficient. And when you read it one time, I promise you, the second time you're going to get more out of it than you did the first time. And the 20th time that you've read it, you will say, man, this thing gets better every time I read it. Review, 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 review. Listen what happened. If you spend more time in reviewing God's word, if you spend more time making sure that I'm clear about what God says, the less time the enemy will have to be able to defeat you. The less time the enemy will have time to influence you, impact you, or affect you. Because when you put that time in the word of God, God's people perish for what?
A lack of knowledge.
Where are you going to get the knowledge from? The word of God. His word is true. His word is pure. His word is life. And so if you really want life underneath the skin and above the skin, you're going to have to review God's word. Why? Because it's in the reviewing of God's word. That's why every day, Psalm 1 says, so important, many of you know that, that when a man is really blessed, he's blessed because he spends time meditating in the word of God day and night. That's review. He's reviewing God's word. One of the reasons why it's reviewing, because you've already viewed it. Once you viewed it once, then everything after that is
review.
The question becomes, how often do you review? See, because if you review it often enough, it'll get in your spirit. And when it gets in your spirit, listen at this, it begins to take life shape, life form. When it becomes a part of you, you don't have to rely just on what's written in the word. You rely on the word that has now become alive in you. See, the Holy Ghost, I've shared this a million times with the believers, runs on the tracks of God's word. The question is, have you laid the proper tracks for the Holy Ghost to run in your life? He's like the train. And listen at this. He doesn't go where tracks aren't laid. It doesn't make sense. He cannot go. You can't pull up what you haven't put down. When you want something to say, if you've not reviewed God's word, guess what you're going to say? Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. And you come on with all these good cliches, and they sound good, but they are not the word of God. They may be the essence. You know, folk have come together and put this together and say, this sounds good. But listen, God is only under warrant to back up what he said. And so when you go back to that word and you review it enough, you know, people right now who can't quote scriptures, I mean, it ain't really a memory loss or a memory issue. It's a review issue. Stay in it enough, and I promise you, you'll be able to quote it. Stay in it enough, I promise you, you'll be able to say where it comes from. Stay in it enough, and you'll realize that when you go into it enough, it comes into you enough, and you will have what the word says you have. So you've got to learn how, in the steps of recovery, to review. Why is that important? Because without God's word, you do not have God's promises. Without God's word, you do not have God's provisions. Without God's word, you do not have God's peace. Without God's word, you do not have all of the things that God himself said are yours through his word. So that's another thing that you must understand. Now, these are placed in order for you to understand. Then you've got to remove. Listen at this. There are some things you cannot remove from your life until you've refocused on God. And until you have gotten enough word in you to strengthen you to remove some stuff. Because the devil has what's called strongholds. There are some areas in your life God knows you don't want to do them. It's like, you know, Paul said in Romans chapter 7, those things I don't want to do, I find myself doing those things. But when you get in the word enough and get the Spirit of God in you moving and operating on God's word, because he's the one who empowers that word, enlivens that word, makes that word come true, give to you what God says that word possesses for you. And so you've got to know it in order to expect it. And so when you are able to do it, then you can come against Satan. Then you can, you know, speak the word against Satan. Because the only thing Satan is going to really be fearful of and be submissive to is the word of God. Jesus proves this again when he is tempted in the wilderness after a 40-day fast. The Holy Ghost is upon him, anointing him. And every trial and tribulation and situation that he deals with, he says, it is written. And he removes every obstacle and every opponent because of the power of the word that's on the inside of him. Yes. See, there are some things that you've been trying to work out, you've been trying to fix, you've been trying to get straight, you've been trying to get right, you've been trying to deal with, and you've not been able to be successful in it because the first two steps have either been out of order or not been followed. God first. Refocus back on God. It's got to be about him. Then you've got to review his word. You've got to get back in this word, because what Satan has done is he has tried to make that word of non-effect in your life. What he has done is try to make that word dull in your life so that you don't seek that word to be what God has said and that God will bring to pass. And the devil has, listen, that's one of the reasons why when we miss it, the devil, first thing he wants to do is get us out of fellowship. If I can keep them out of church, if I can keep them away. Let me retract that. Not keep them out of church. Keep them out of a word church. Where the word is going forth, where the word is going to convict, where the word is going to open their eyes, where the word is going to give them direction, where the word is going to give them encouragement, where the word, and see, if he can keep you out of that kind of fellowship where the word is constantly presented, if he can take you out of the place where you stop listening to the word, be it, you know, tapes or Christian programming or Christian music, if he can get you away from word in any form, then he's gotten you away from that God himself is going to bring to pass in your life. And so you got to learn how to remove ungodly things from your life when you become strong. Listen to what Jesus tells Peter. He says, Peter, the devil desires to sift you as wheat. He says, but what has happened? I have prayed for you. And then listen to what he tells him. He says, and when thou art what? Converted, strengthen thy brother. Now he knows Peter had some things Peter had to remove from his life, like fear, like doubt, all of these other things that hindered him from walking in the word and the will and the way of God. But he says, when you're converted, which means there is a process, that's a process to recovery. Peter was going to lose within himself the place and the honor and the prestige of being who he was to the Lord because he walked out of the word, he walked out of the will, he walked out of the way, he walked out of the covering or from under the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he fell flat on his face. And he wept bitterly. Why? Because the things that Jesus told him was going to happen, and he thought they wouldn't. But as long as ungodly things